Hey, friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time. Welcome back to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. As we wrap up this season of Walking with a Game Plan, we wanted to take a look at how the meta-narrative, or the big picture story, goes hand in hand with each of our personal relationships with Jesus Christ. We have referred to God as our perfect model of what a coach looks like in our lives, and as we parallel life to the game plan. So, Kel, what have we been talking about with the game plan this season?
Well, it's been a great season of growing and asking God to be our coach and to lead us and, you know, look at what our core values are and what matters to us, what we think about, what we talk about, what we're living for, and that's our game plan.
That's right, and we all play a very vital role. We don't have the same position that maybe our team players have. Just like the body of Christ, we all have a part to play, and we need to be walking in our identity, and that's our identity in Christ. Yeah. So,
well, Chris, before we get started, we're coming out of the Super Bowl just a few days ago.
That's right.
The biggest stage for football. And, you know, I know those athletes must sacrifice so much to get to the pinnacle of football stardom. I know they work as a community like we probably can't even understand. They persevere through hardship to get there. And, you know, that's the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I know many of those players are believers. I heard them share a testimony of giving thanks to God. But I also know that it's a game.
Right.
And as I watched after the game was over, you know, immediately they were talking about winning three times in a row.
Right.
You know, already thinking about next year's win.
Right.
And so here we are walking with a game plan, and it's so much bigger than a trophy or a win, like in football or like in sports.
Right. Or just temporary wins in general.
And so I hope that as we talk today and we talk about the big picture, it's so much bigger than a temporary win. So.
And today we are so excited to have known over the years Charles McCallum with us on the podcast.
Yes.
And Kelly, I know you're going to introduce him. Charles, we're glad you're here because you teach Old Testament at CSU. You're on staff here at Old Fort Baptist Church.
Yeah.
We're going to share a personal story that we remember from you, but Kelly's just going to introduce our listeners that may not know you.
Charles, you have worked hard to be where you are, to be an expert in Old Testament, New Testament, and not just an expert, but you're living it. And we've seen that over the years, and just want to share a few things about you. You graduated from college in Charleston.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Bachelor of Arts in Communication. Then you went on to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where you received a Master of Divinity in Christian Ministry and a doctorate of education.
That's right, yes. And interestingly enough, none of those schools have a football team.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, you worked hard. I know you were married in 2008 right here Old Fort to Mary. And we just think back to Mary and love her. We were in ministry with her and the voice of an angel.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I generally tell people that I sacrificed the ability to sing prior to birth so that the Lord could give my future bride a double portion.
Aww. Yeah, beautiful.
So you guys are welcome.
Yes. Y'all have three boys?
We do.
Yeah. In the thick of raising kids and family life. And we're just so honored that you'd be here. You know, Charles, when I think back to you and Mary and, you know, being here at Old Fort, you just were young leaders trying to please the Lord in worship.
Absolutely.
And in life. And even as we were talking off the air, like you shared stories that I had no idea how God was working in you. So I'm just honored to be here with you and to learn from you. So thanks.
Hey, likewise, I was just telling y'all earlier, so I'll say it again here. I feel so honored to first of all get a chance to see it live, see the Kelly and Christy walking live. Like you guys are right here, right in front of me. But then also just, it feels as though I finally graduated to the big kids table.
Oh,
as I came into my faith, I came in, first church that I found was Old Fort, and I got to see y'all. Y'all were the stars of the team, all stars going out there and living it, and getting a chance to watch y'all in those years was pivotal for me. So yeah, it's like being at the big kids table. This is great.
Wow. Well, I want to just share that, and we were talking about this before we got started, that I was on the worship team here at Old Fort and met Mary, sang with Mary, and you played the guitar. Like we were a part of a team that led worship and loved
and
the Lord.
Eric was leading,
right?
Kelly's husband, leading worship.
Yes.
But then I had the opportunity to be in y'all's wedding.
Yes.
Michaela was your flower
That's
girl.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many memories. And I just feel like God was doing something back then.
Yeah.
But here we are. How many years has it been since y'all
15 years.
15 years ago.
Yes.
And I get overwhelmed sometimes when I think about, wow, when I look back, like, who would have thought we'd be sitting around a podcast table?
Right.
There was no such thing as a podcast.
That's right.
But here we are, and God has orchestrated this today.
Absolutely.
And that's what he has always done.
Exactly.
Which
is so beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, which just leads us right into what we are going to be talking about today.
Absolutely.
The meta-narrative.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. And meta-narrative is something that when I first became a believer, I became a believer as an adult. And so I had known about Christianity my whole life, but I was having trouble just kind of wrapping it all together. How does everything fit? And a lot of times, especially in children's ministry, we want to introduce children to good moral stories. And so we're giving them little dabbles of the information, but how does it all fit together? And I remember in those first moments or first months of being a Christian saying, you know, God, if there's just maybe 8 really specific verses that you could point me to, or if there's a book that could just help me see, how does all of this fit together? Now, he didn't reveal that to me in those first few months, but as I continued to pursue him, eventually I came across what is known as the meta-narrative. And essentially, that's just the big fancy word for the big picture of the Bible, the big picture of the story that is being told. And that was a game changer for me.
Wow. And Chris, I know you and I both, Charles, you and Adriana are doing a podcast on biblical truth. And right now you are walking through the Old Testament.
That's right.
And I know you started with the meta-narrative, just helping me, helping many understand this big story.
Absolutely.
It was so good.
Yes,
so
good,
a plug for your podcast.
That's yeah. Right. That's yes. Right. Biblical Truth.
Yes.
Old Fort Baptist Church is
right.
So good.
Oh, no, we're loving it. Honestly, it's been really enjoyable to walk through because, honestly, these are things that Adriana and I would be having these conversations at the office anyway. Yeah. And so we thought, well, why not we go ahead, put on the mics, record them, and give others an opportunity to join us in the conversation of how does the Bible all fit together?
Right.
There's got to be a way that it,
right.
You know, a thread that puts it all together. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Right. So in this season, where it's been all about walking with a game plan. And so we're hoping that you can kind of give some voice to the meta-narrative, this big picture, and what that might look like for us, for all of us, as we are walking with a game plan.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely love that we're getting to incorporate how to fit walking with a game plan into how do we view the scriptures through what's known as the meta-narrative. And essentially, it's just four key elements that help us better understand every single portion of the rest of the Bible. I often like to, when I'm teaching it for the first time, I'll draw a ridiculously bad table on a whiteboard. Mary got the singing talent of our family. She also got the artistic talent
right.
as well. And so I'm giving them a rectangle mm-hmm. with four rectangles on the bottom of it that look like the legs of the table.
Right.
And I essentially start by saying the story of the Bible has four key elements that hold up the entirety of the rest of the story. One of those is creation. And so that helps us wrestling with the big picture of, well, why do we exist? How does all of this that is around us come into existence? Does it have purpose? Does it have value? And from a Christian perspective, by proclaiming through the word that God is the creator and he is the creator of all things and that he's declared it as good, then that changes the way we begin to look. If you've ever been sitting in rush hour traffic and somebody cuts you off, or insert the one thing that people do that's going to upset you, it exposes our hearts and we have to make a decision how we're going to respond to that. But what we're learning through the creation account as one of those pillars that holds up the entirety of the story is it reminds us that that person is somebody made in God's image and that he created that person as good and that he loves them and that he desires good for them. And those are moments where if you continue to meditate on that in your own heart, it begins to change how you view the people around you. And I've often found, as someone who we were talking about sports a moment ago, I grew up as a hockey player. Right. Hockey is a sport where you have to learn how to play with an aggressive edge, which y'all would have as well in basketball. I have to play with an aggressive edge while controlling that emotion as well. And so that's a Christian value that's important too. We have to know that we're in the game. We've been called to share the gospel with others. But that also means the one that we're going to be sharing with does not yet have the sensitivity towards Christian morality.
That's good.
And so
yeah.
we have to be aggressive with them while still knowing we're going to get, for lack of better illustration, punched in the face. And they're not going to necessarily always react. How do we keep that? Well, we remind ourselves this is someone made in God's image. He loves them and he desires the best for them. And so if you're a nurse out there with a wild patient, I saw one just the other day being very belligerent with a nurse. Continue to have to love on that person. It's your job. And that's our job as Christians as well. And so, but then the question becomes, But why, if God created everything as good, why do I have to get upset with someone? Why is there sin in this world? The Bible answers that in the third chapter. Sin enters the world through our disobedience. In order to fully love someone, we have to have the ability to say no to them. I like to use an illustration when I'm teaching on the fall, and I talk about Mary, my wife. She did not have to choose to marry me. Y'all both once knew a life when Mary did not know Charles. So at some point, she made a conscious decision to say, I will choose this one. And so whenever she shares love in however capacity, you know, quality time or acts of service or however that be, that is her expressing something she didn't have to do, right? I don't have to love Mary. So when I share love with her, she feels appreciated, right? So same way with us. We, in order to fully understand the love God has for us, had to have the ability to say no. And if we have the ability to say no, we're going to say no. And so unfortunately, the fall happens. But God, even as the fall is happening, reminds us that he loves us, he's going to show us mercy, and he's going to continue to pursue us. And we see that glimmer of hope in Genesis 3:15, that there is a seed that will be born of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. So we're looking for that rescuer. And so the rest of the Bible is helping us better understand when someone is introduced to us, they're going to show us glimpses of who Jesus is and where Jesus will be faithful, but they're also going to show us where people in the scriptures are going to fail miserably, and yet Jesus will remain faithful in those moments. And that should be encouraging to us.
Yeah, over and over again.
Right.
Over and over.
We're seeing failures time and time again in the scriptures. So whenever we get into a tough situation and we fail, and yet God continues to be faithful. And so the rest of the scriptures is we're then looking for our rescuer.
Right.
And looking to be restored into a promise that God has given to us of one day where there will be no more sickness, sorrow, right. Sadness, wow. Pain, tears, suffering. And that is a beautiful hope that the rest of the world does not possess.
That is so, so good. So those are the four legs.
Those are the four. Creation, fall, rescue, and restoration.
All right. I love it. Well, when we get back from the break, we are going to continue to talk about the meta-narrative and how that relates to walking with a game plan. Welcome back. We are so glad to have you, Charles, at the table, just kind of sharing with us about the meta-narrative.
Yes.
And just to bring those four parts of the table back before we get back into things. Creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration.
That's right, yes.
Of what's holding everything together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we would love for you just to continue to share about that. What I know I wanted to ask you just to be thinking about how we can share with our listeners. You know, I think many times, I know I have in the past, just gotten tripped up in the areas where I feel like maybe I have failed God or I have made mistakes.
Yes.
And I've thought and heard that voice of the enemy say, God can't use you. And I know that that is the voice of the enemy. That's not truth. And but for those that might be listening, you know, God uses a lot of times the people and the circumstances that don't look like maybe we would think he would.
Yes, absolutely. You know, my very first thought that came to mind as you were mentioning this is we look into the Old Testament. There's a story of the Israelites. They've come out of the slavery in Egypt. They've had a season where they've wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then we get to the point where they've entered into the promised land. We see the highs of the promised land, but then we also see the lows of the forgetfulness of God. And then we get to the book of Samuel, where in Samuel, the people of God want a king. They want to be like all the other nations.
Right.
And Samuel as a prophet says, Lord, no, don't let them do this. It's not going to be in their best interest. But he says, no, if this is what they want, even though it's not going to be good for them, I'm going to allow it to happen so that they can learn a lesson.
Yeah. Okay.
And they say, yes, we want a king. And Samuel conveys from God, we're going to allow you a king. But understand, and this is the ironic point, up until that moment, they had a king already and his name was God. Mm. But now they're going to have an earthly king. And Samuel reminds the people, there's going to be some consequences.
Right.
A king will have the right to come to your home and demand your daughters to be married off, demand your sons to go to war, to ask for your crops. And it's going to come with consequence. And the people said, but we want a king. We want to be like the world. And this is us, right?
Right.
We have
right.
that tension of we're seeing the world always around us and it's tempting. And so what happens is they get one who is raised up and they say, we want this guy to be our king. And it gives descriptions as to the king the people wanted was a man named Saul.
Right.
His name literally means he asks. They ask for Saul and they get Saul because he's a head taller than every other of the Israelites, which at the time the Israelites were about 5'6". So he was about a 6 foot tall man.
Right.
He's a head taller. He's handsome. He's what they think a king should look like.
Right.
And his very first thing he has to do as this leader representative of the people is he has to overcome an enemy named Nahash. Nahash is the Hebrew word for serpent. And so this is introduced to us in the scriptures as, is Saul potentially the rescuer who will overcome a serpent and redeem God's people into that relationship? And what we learn from Saul is he has a lot of great things going for him, but he also showed some failures.
Yeah.
And the next man who is risen up is a man named David.
Right.
And with David, we see Samuel go to David's house and he goes to his father, Jesse, and says, the Lord has brought me here to anoint the next king over God's people. And so Jesse brings all of his sons, except for one, and lines them up. And Samuel looks at the first son. Nope, it's not this one. The second. And he goes all the way down right. the list and he gets to the end and goes, well, wait a minute. God, what are you doing? Are you sure this was the right house? Did I go to the wrong Jesse? He says, no. Ask him if he has one more. Well, Jesse, do you have one more child? Oh, yes, there's another. He's just out somewhere out there watching the sheep.
Right.
So they go and find David and bring him. And God says, that's the one. And this is a moment in the scriptures that should remind us that what we tend to think is the right path, what we think the world's teachings right. is leaning us to what we should do or what we should pick, is not always the path that God is going to choose. And one of the highlights of that text is that we tend to look toward the outward,
yeah.
but God looks at the heart.
That's so good.
So good, Charles.
And yeah, so yeah. When we're looking at these moments where we have made mistakes and we're sitting here feeling inadequate, yeah. honestly, that's right where God wants us. He wants us to have a heart that can come to him with full submission. You know, I was saying about my own testimony earlier off mic, I had to get myself to a point in my early 20s to where I had hit my rock bottom. I'm talking to the point where I finished going to the jobs I was working at the time. I had gone to the College of Charleston, was living in West Ashley. I had finished my jobs. I went home to my apartment. And I had to get to a point where the Lord brought a massive storm that knocked out the power and literally removed
wow.
any possible distractions from my life. And I'd hit my rock bottom. And I got to thinking to myself in that moment, you know what? I think I have a Bible somewhere. I wonder if maybe that's what I should do right now. And I began to read. And I started reading the words of Paul. And I promise you, I have learned how to read. I know you're supposed to go from left to right in a book. But for some reason, I started with Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went backwards and read Ephesians. And then I went backwards and read Galatians. I was just trying to read small letters.
Right.
And they were, you know, a lot of small ones. Wasn't really a big reader back then.
Right.
But by the time I got done, I began to realize this is what God wants. He wants someone that has been broken of the things that this world identify as valuable
right.
to come to him and say, Lord, I've tried it my way. I failed miserably. As far as I'm concerned, today is the death of me. Every moment I have from today onward, I'm giving to you in service. every breath you give me is for your glory. And so then that opens up a completely different way to view the world. And so when we fail, well, we're just trying to be faithful to the Lord as best we can. And sometimes, honestly, it's not going to work that way. I'm actually reading a book on leadership right now, and the very first chapter is on failure. It said the one thing you oftentimes don't hear successful people talk a lot about is that they struggle and they fail and they don't have a 100% success rate in life. And I think it's important. One of the things I've loved about getting a chance to be a listener on this podcast is the vulnerability of saying, this is how I feel like life should be, but this is where the Lord has placed me. How can I take where I am and give it fully to God? You know, if he was done with us, he would take us home. So he's not done with us. Therefore, there's something we have left to give. Even if it's just sharing our experiences of our failures and how God continues to be faithful despite ourselves. And we see that throughout the scriptures time and again. Somebody is introduced to us. They fail miserably. I was excited to read about Samson when I first became a Christian because I hear all these people saying, yes, be a Samson man. And I read his story and I thought, he doesn't have a very good story. He actually, he does a lot of bad things.
Right.
And yet God still used him.
That's right. Right. Well, I just, as you're telling us these stories, I am just thinking of you, our listeners, and I just know that there are many things that we all are facing on the daily, and I just hope you are encouraged. I hope that you realize that God is in the details. He is all about what you're going through. He knows where you are. He sees you.
Yeah.
And he wants to be a part of it. And we just would love to invite you just this week even. We're not to the end of this yet, but I just felt the Holy Spirit just telling me to say, invite him in to those places that
Absolutely.
Are hard, yeah. that are just lonely. God wants to come in and just heal so that you can share the parts of your story that God wants to, you know, use you to bring glory to him through.
Absolutely.
And I just something I've been thinking about as you've shared, Charles, is knowing our true identity. You know,
Absolutely.
So often we live in this false identity of, I'm a teacher, I'm
right.
a pastor, I'm a nurse. And though that's not our true identity.
It's what we do.
Right.
It's what we do. But if we could learn to walk out who God says we are.
Right. Yes.
And naming is so big in the Bible. Like, people's names have such right. purpose.
Do, yes.
And what God calls us is not what we do.
That's right.
But it's how much he loves us. And so I'm just also thinking of our listeners that you are not what you do.
That's right.
You are loved, healed, valued, chosen, because God made you and loves you.
Yes. And that's our identity. That's
yeah,
our value.
That's
yes.
our identity.
Yes.
And we think of David, a shepherd boy.
That's right.
that becomes king.
Who right. becomes king,
yes.
but also defeats Goliath mm-hmm. in his true identity. He tried on the armor
right.
and it
That's
didn't
right.
fit.
That's
and
right.
he didn't like it. He wasn't comfortable, but he was comfortable with his slingshot,
That's right.
his five stones. And God used who David truly was,
yes.
a shepherd boy.
That's right.
Who, his father didn't even bring him in, but God called him and used him. great things.
Absolutely. We just had a cultural conversation at the church, a panel discussion on technology. And one of the books I read referenced David and talked about the importance of preparation in our downtimes, that so many of us in our culture today, when we have a free second, we're going to put a phone right in front of our faces, and we're trying to keep ourselves stimulated because we're afraid of just the normalcy of nothingness. And the reality of the beauty of David's success in that moment against Goliath, the reason the Lord knew this is the one who was going to be able to represent to the Israelites my ability to save them by one man, just as Jesus would one day save them by one man, was just a humble kid who sat around on a tree stump staring at sheep, waiting for a lion or a bear to attack, and would just be practicing his slingshot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so he's just, you know, like a little kid. It's like when you guys were growing up playing basketball, you were able to be on the big stage of playing high school ball because you worked on the fundamentals to prep yourself to get there. And by learning the fundamentals of the game, what position did you play?
A guard.
You were a guard.
Shooting guard.
Shooting. Oh.
I was too, when I was on the court.
Shooting. But you always had to prepare as though you're going to be put in, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm sure I grew up with hockey, y'all grew up with basketball, but I'm sure there was times when though you were the shooting guard, based on you took a, or let's say, no, you always made your shot. So let's say the other person shot and the other team got the rebound. Well, now you're coming back on defense. Mm-hmm. You don't always get your assigned person that you have to defend against, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be ready in the moment for whatever the game puts your way. How do you do that? Preparation. Y'all talked about a few episodes ago, film days, right? Yeah. Going in and watching the other team. Well, unfortunately, a lot of times as Christians, we forget we're in a game. We forget we're in the battle.
Yeah.
And so we're just do down the road, and the enemy smacks us with something, and we think, what am I doing, God? Why have you? Well, he's over there going, you're in the middle of a war, sitting in a recliner chair with popcorn while people are fighting all around you. You're going to get hit occasionally, right? So we got to be ready in the game.
That's right.
How do we do that? It's the fundamentals, biblical truth.
Yeah.
Be in the word.
Yeah.
Spending time with the Lord in prayer. You guys have talked a lot on this podcast as well about having a small group that you get together with and being able to have accountability around us so that there's someone around us when things get hard.
Yeah.
One of the things that breaks my heart as a pastor is we get phone calls from a church member and says, you know, I've hit this season of life. I really need support and help right now. Okay, well, who are your people that are you're connected to in the church? Do you have a small group, a Sunday school class? Do you have a serve team that you're serving alongside of? Who can we let know that you're going through this season? And occasionally you'll get someone that says, I don't have anybody I can turn to in this moment. And yes, as the church, we should be the people that people can turn to in those times of struggle, but it makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
If you have that support before you crash into a hard season. And I think there's one thing we can all agree on. Life will give you opportunities to go through hard seasons.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And life gives us opportunities to make those decisions every single day. What we're going to choose, what we're going to make a priority.
That's right.
And so let's keep walking, friends, and let's get involved so that we are not alone. We have a community. You do have a community that you can choose to be a part of.
Yeah.
And so we just would encourage you to reach out again to us on Instagram or Facebook at Walking with Kelly and Christy. We would love to hear from you, pray with you, share with you ways you can get involved. But every week, we like to leave our listeners with something. And Charles, we are so thankful.
Oh, thank you so much.
You would just share
such
from
a
your
joy.
Heart. Yes.
An honor.
Thank you so much. And this week, we would like to just encourage you to think about your own story. How has God been working in your life to redeem and restore? And maybe just take a few minutes this week to write down parts of your story. We tend to call that our testimony.
Yes. Yeah.
But we should always be prepared with our testimony and the things that God has done in and through our lives. And then we would just encourage you to share it. There are people that God is going to bring into your life that need to hear truth, and they need some encouragement through what God has done in our lives. So as you write out your testimony or you think about your testimony, be ready to share it, because God will put people in your life. So until next time, keep walking.
Rooted Studio.